Welcome. This is Monday night, Monday, March 21st. And this is, my name is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call with Carla Ruckert as my guest and Terry Brown as my co-host. Is everyone there?
Here we are. Hi, everybody.
Let me click into the conference call and see if we don't screw everything up. I shouldn't say that.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
Hi, this is Edna. Hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Edna. I'm good. How
good
are you
afternoon.
Doing?
Hi, Edna.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Sorry. It escaped.
Now, let me see. Terry, do you hear me?
I do. I hear everybody loud and clear.
Okay, it's working. It's working. Well, let me see. We're on the air right now, and I'm going to mute the conference call. Do you guys want to say hello to everyone that's listening on the Internet? Uh-oh. Who just came on?
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
okay.
Everybody. Hello.
No.
Do I hear Chris Blair?
Yes, you do.
God, how did
I'm trying not to give any of my sickness through these phone waves. So,
you know, it's hard to recognize your voice, but I took a lucky guess.
Hope you feel better, Sam.
Okay, I'm gonna. This is Wynn from Monday Call, and Chris, you better.
I know. I need to mute. How do I mute myself or whatever?
Okay, we're gonna mute everybody. If you just checked in, we're gonna put you on mute. Just a moment.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And, Carla, you don't know what the topic is for tonight, do you?
I don't.
Well,
your own recording still, right?
Oh, yeah, I got to record. Hang on just a second. Thank you.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is Monday, March 21st, Winfrey. We're now recording. Hello to everybody that's listening to the recording, everyone's listening to the replays, and it's our Monday night live broadcast on BBS Radio, and tonight we are having a conversation with Carla Ruckert. For those of you who don't know who Carla is or what she's done, she is, the word that describes her is a channel. She's a human being, but one of the things she does is she channels. She brings through messages and voices from other dimensions. And she is probably one of the most conscientious, highly intended, highly service-oriented people that do that. And her work has influenced people around the planet. She's brought through one of her most famous or most well-known work is the four books of the Ra channeling. And Ra is a group soul comprised of graduates of this realm who act as a helper and guide for planets.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
At lower levels of evolution, like ours. And they said in Carla's channelings that there were two ways that they connected with our realm. And one of the ways was through the verbal messages through people like Carla, or just through Carla. At the time, they said that was a very unique opportunity for their communication. And the other way is through, how did they say this, the beaming of light energy, love light energy. I can't remember if they called it love light. But the beaming of energy, beaming is, I'm not sure that's the word they use, but the sending of energy from their dimension into this dimension for people that requested it. They said they worked with people that requested their assistance. And, of course, in order to request assistance, you have to get the idea that there's something to request to. So I think one of the most valuable aspects of channeling is that it gives the idea that there's something out there that you can make a request to. And so I want to make sure Carla concurs with our topic for tonight, because I didn't ask her and I just announced it. She probably will. But Carla, the topic tonight is prayer and how that works.
That's a wonderful topic for tonight.
Okay, good. And as you see, I've kind of set it up in that initial entry discussion because the Ra group answers prayers. That's one of the groups that does that. And I don't usually call them prayers. I'm afraid to use the word prayer because prayer automatically puts many people into the thought of religion and into the thought of church or places of worship. And I like to use the word intention for the highest good of all concerned, intention honoring free will. And I think that's very close to the idea of prayer. But Carla is a very interesting person in this respect because she's a member of her local church. She has used religion as a way of staying connected, and yet she also channels the Ra group, or now she channels the Kuo. Of course, I always call it the Kuo group. And while we're introducing people, we have Terry Brown on the line, and Terry has been my close friend and associate and partner for a long time now. And Terry also channels a group that identifies itself as the Elohim, and they say sometimes the Ra group is mixed in with their channelings, and they made a collaboration. Now, when I hear voices, I have no idea if anyone is who they say they are. So I'm telling you what they say, and I can tell you the results of the interaction with them. And I remember the first time I had something extraordinary happen with the Elohim. Of course, most people heard this story, but in case somebody's not listening or is listening for the first time that happened, that was extraordinary, was when I got a notice that my sister was going to the hospital with a critical case of cancer. She wasn't expected to survive this operation. And I asked them, I said, can you help my sister? And they said they could. And the next thing that happened was my sister survived the operation. And I was thinking, of course, it was coincidence. I didn't really believe this was early on in this experience of talking to these guys. And a few weeks later, I got a call from my brother-in-law, and he said something really weird happened because Joanne had to go in for tests to see if the cancer came back. And the nurse said there was no cancer, but her lupus had disappeared, and lupus never goes away. So at this point, I was convinced that I had some kind of intercession from this voice I was talking to. And I asked them, how did you do that? And they said, well, it was just like putting a filter in her blood and taking the lupus out. And in subsequent conversations, they said in their realm, they don't ever call it miracles because things just readjust themselves according to intention all the time. But in our realm, things are very sluggish and slow. So when you make a connection between their realm and our realm, some of that sluggish and slowness can shift. And I would suppose that when I was just having this channeling experience and I said, could you help my sister? That was like a prayer, wasn't it? Except I was talking to them. So Terry and Carla, who are both channeling these voices, and in some ways I think that these are the sources that are able to readjust reality and that answer the call. And I believe that it's the same sources that answer the call in more traditional usage of the word prayer. And so we're going to have a really interesting discussion. And hopefully the outcome will be at the end of this show that we will all know a little better how to ask for things we want to shift. And be sure, we're going to make sure that we all do a prayer at some point here for Carla's operation, pending operation, which is coming up. When is it coming up, Carla? Is it scheduled yet?
April 15th.
April 15th. Tax day, right?
Everybody's sending their form in. I'm sending my form into the hospital to get repaired.
All right. So, you know, why don't you tell everybody, first of all, what church you're a member of, okay?
I would be glad to. I worship with the Believing Community of St. Luke's Episcopal Church, Anchorage. Very wonderful group of people, and sing in the choir on a Sunday. I haven't been able to do that lately because of difficulties, but I hope to get back to that after this procedure. And I don't know if you know this, Wynn, but I ran an intercessory prayer group for 23 years.
Did you?
I no longer
I didn't know
have
that.
To do that because there was already an intercessory prayer group at St. Luke's, but I am the Kentucky representative for the Anglican Fellowship of Prayer. So I've believed in prayer all my life and worked with it for a long, long time.
Now, I have an immediate question. Did any of your religious friends know how weird you were on the side?
Yes. I have always lived my life really straight. I've lived as transparently as possible. So it wasn't that I proactively came out with it. But those who were close to me, of course, knew what I was doing besides singing in the choir at church.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I never had any problems with people feeling that it was not something I should be doing to do the channeling. Mm-hmm. And I would point out, by the way, that it doesn't really matter what your service is as opposed to what your belief system is. Remember that Jesus was an Essene or a Jew, depending on to whom you speak, and he began a whole new church. I'm not trying to begin a whole new church, but the people that I care about are not the people that are in church. The people that are in church are set with a lot of help. They've got people to talk to in the clergy, in the laity. There are tremendous networks of help for those who are believing Christians. It's the people that can't do Christianity, can't do Judaism, cannot do Allah and Muhammad and Islam, cannot do Shinto, cannot do Hinduism, etc., etc. that are pretty much twisting in the wind, and those are the people to whom my heart really goes out. So I really, those are my seekers, and if I can produce material that's helpful to them, that is, you know, totally the blessing of my life. Because I really care about the people that are waking up and going, well, what do I do now? You know, so it doesn't really matter what your belief system is. What the Creator has for you to do may have nothing whatsoever to do except tangentially with your belief system. You kind of have to go with it.
Right. Terry, are you there? Terry, unmute your phone.
Yeah, I'm here. I am here.
There you go. Well, you know, Terry sometimes blows me away because she'll sometimes be listening to the radio and the news, and I don't usually listen to the news. I mean, I do when there's something really provocative, but there's one point of view that why listen to this stuff when you can not impact it? It's going to happen anyway. And I used to get irritated with Terry for listening to the news. And then we had a conversation about it. And she said, well, this is how I find things that I should be praying for. So why don't you share a little bit about how prayer works for you, Terry?
Well, what I do is, first of all, if there's something that is going on in the world, like, say, the fires in, like, that were in Arizona one time near Solo, or the fires that were in San Diego, I would listen to the news and see where the hot spots were, and then pray for them. And I know one night the fire was headed to Solo, and they announced in the evening that there was no chance at all that they could save Solo, and that but they were really trying. They had a whole crew of men out there trying to save Solo and keep the fire line safe. So I spent
Solo is a little city in Arizona, right?
Like, right.
Probably about 300 miles from Sedona, correct?
Yeah, northern Arizona.
Okay.
And so it's by morning, they announced that the city had been saved. But I was up most of the night praying for it. And I get Vizio. I can see what's going on sometimes, just in my mind's eye. And so I listen to the news and I get an idea of where things are needed, and then I can pray. Sometimes it doesn't change something because there's something like, for instance, with the Japanese nuclear situation, the news has been so widespread that there's so many people holding the idea of what's going on that it's really harder to change. So if something can be caught early, it's easier before everybody is thinking a certain way about it. So those are some of my ideas about prayer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Maybe I'll ask both of you the question, and that is, since prayer is aimed towards something, in your mind, do you think of a group soul when you're praying, or do you think of the traditional idea of God? You know, in a certain way, I see that it's all the same. Since everything is one, then when you think of a group soul, it sounds like it's a multiple, but it's a multiple of one. And of course, we're one with one. But I don't think it makes any difference as long as your intent is pure. But Carla, what do you think?
Well, when I'm praying, I'm simply conversing. But I'm conversing very intently. Sometimes I'm just praying, Lord, this is your day. I give my will to you. What would you have me do? And then there's silence. And I don't get a direct answer, but as the day unfolds, I discover what it is. If I'm interceding for someone else, I do not, I say, Lord, I've got the situation, and I'm concerned about it, and here's how it feels to me, and I just ask for your light. A lot of times, if I'm praying, I will find a hymn. I've been singing in choir since I was 4, so I know the Episcopal hymnal really well. And I will sing a hymn that is pointed towards that particular situation or problem. But basically, when I'm praying, I know what I'm doing is basically moving light. You know, people say, well, send me some light. Well, that is literally what prayer does. I think the angels are very much involved in the activity of prayer in this conversation. They are an agent of the Creator, directly linked with the Creator, never having been incarnated. And we are all guarded by angels. Not the archangels, and not the ones that are at the top of the hierarchy, but there are lots and lots of people, there are lots and lots of angels. And so when you're in a prayerful or penitential or meditative situation, the forces around you help you to grow brighter with the infinite love and light of the Creator that's always flowing through us. But we focus it when we pray, when we set an intention, and when we have a concern. And I recently ran across a story, an anecdote told by someone I respect, a guy named Frank DeMarco. I was in the midst of writing a blurb for his new book, and I ran across this anecdote. And he said that he had been working to get out of the body with the Monroe Institute, and he was practicing, I guess you would say, in a car. And the car was going down the highway. He wasn't driving. This is a good thing. And he saw an accident across the divide on the other side of the interstate, and it was a bad one. And there were ambulances there, and it was obvious that people were hurt. And he saw light from the passing cars going to the wreck. And after he woke up and he was thinking about it, he realized that those were the prayers of the people that were passing, and sent, you know, just a passing prayer to that stranger, said, Lord, please help that person. There is no prayer that is not answered. There is an actual movement in the universe, in the inner realms, when we pray. We are powerful, powerful people. We just sometimes don't realize it. And when we set our intention and we focus our desire, things happen. Now, sometimes the answer to a prayer is no. And so people will say, well, my prayer wasn't answered. Well, it was answered. You didn't like the answer, but it was answered. And a lot of times, a prayer doesn't really have to be an intercession. It can be an expression of joy. It can be an expression of thanksgiving. There are lots of emotion and moods to prayer. But the important thing about it is that we realize that in a large portion of things that occur around us, we have no control. That is not our area of control. What happens to us happens to us. It's incoming. And here it comes. And where our arena of control is in how we respond. Terry's perfect example of this, listening to the news so that she can move right into the middle of the hot spots, not avoiding them, not turning the station off, learning all she can about them so that she knows for whom to pray. And that is a beautiful example of how you can set your intention and live your life according to principles that actually make it so that you live in a heaven on earth, so that you live in your own little universe, your own little creation that you've created, and the way you live, the way you react to things, the way you respond, it makes your creation unique. It makes it a little bit different from everybody else's because you have a choice over how you react. I think that prayer is especially important right now, Wynn and Terry, because we have a fresh disaster on our hands, and people are going, well, this nuclear accident in Japan, this terrible tsunami that hit everybody, this awful earthquake, what can we do? How can we help? You can help. I think you can help in a couple of ways. First of all, and I'm talking about prayer here. I'm not talking about obvious things like sending money for the Red Cross or whatever. Or, of course, the Bishop's Fund for Episcopal Relief, mm-hmm. which is where we put the money because there are bishops on the ground there that know where the money should go. So Jim and I always donate through that. Anyway, first of all, prayers help. Second of all, in addition to praying, if you set in your intention that you wish your prayers to join the prayers of all the other people who are concerned for this matter, you get a doubling effect. And by leaning into that doubling effect, you can increase the light even more so that light just is pouring into the place that we're concerned about right now, which would be Japan. But you can also do this for absolutely everybody that is suffering on planet Earth. The great thing about prayer is that you don't have to say, okay, I want you to send help to that knee, that tricky knee that's giving my poor friend such a horrible time. You just say, Lord, my friend needs help. Please send it. And the Spirit knows where to go. You don't have to direct prayer. I remember one time I was praying for a young boy that had just one tumor after another started showing up in his brain. And I was praying, and I got an impression of massive light. And the next day, my friend called me in tears, and the mom, and she said, there's nothing wrong with my son. She said, first of all, he was in the MRI taking one test, you know, one last test so that the surgeons would know precisely where to cut to get these tumors out of the brain. And she said, the thing showed complete white light. There was nothing on the film but white light. So they took it again, and there were no tumors. That's how powerful the light of prayer is.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
How much time was between the first time they took it and the second?
Just minutes.
Minutes. So it disappeared.
If you've ever had an MRI scan, you know that things don't happen quickly. They have to set up this massive machine. So it was probably 10, 15 minutes before they could get it going again.
Right.
But, it was an instantaneous healing.
When you were leading your prayer group, did you have a lot of phenomena like that?
Not a lot, but enough to make you realize that miracles occur. And, of course, they would mm-hmm. say they're not miracles at all. It's just the way natural law works. So we just have to cooperate mm-hmm. with that natural law.
Yeah.
And the natural law is that we are powerful beings, and when we set our intention, it works. You know, energy is moved, and positive love is directed towards our concern. I think that it may help for me to say a little bit about getting ready to pray, because you can't always get ready to pray. Sometimes you have to pray on the fly, you know, like when you see an accident on the expressway, and I do. I always send energy to a wreck because, you know, I want them to be okay, and I want everybody else on the road to be okay, too. But it's very helpful to realize that you're working with an energy body rather than a physical body when you are praying. You're not simply praying from a physical mind to an unknown. You're praying from an energy body whose mind is consciousness. The consciousness is one with all other consciousness. So you're moving into a very united, connected dance. And you're asking some of the distortions of that dance to be altered for the better for that one person. So what you need to do is work with your energy body to open it up, to relax it, clear the chakras up, you know, clear up any concerns you may have over sexuality, survival, relationships, work, marriage, children, whatever. Let it all fall away and realize that you are an instrument and you are asking this instrument to vibrate with some love and connect. So you're basically, you're moving your consciousness from the very beginnings of sexuality and survival, up through the chakras, up through relationships, up through birth family, marriage family, work, all that stuff, moving up through communication right into the brow chakra. And once you get your heart open, you can use these higher chakras, you see. So if you have an open heart and an open energy body, and then you reach up through the gateway to intelligence and you say, help, please, I need some help here. And you express your concern and you let it go, then what is going to pour through you is the response to that prayer. And it's going to pour through you. It's going to pour through the person for whom you're praying. And it's not an infringement on free will at all, because the energy would never go where it is not asked, where it is not accepted. And it only goes where it's needed. So you don't have to worry that you're infringing on somebody's free will. You don't have to ask for permission to pray for somebody. You can just go ahead and pray.
That's very well said.
You know, that's, I don't know if you know this, but every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we do, I call it a grid healing, but we actually do that. We do exactly what you just said, or not exactly, but close to it. We bring the energy up through the heart and then up through the higher chakras and up the top of the head, and we make a group energy and we create intention. And sometimes it's just, it blows me away how powerful it is. It's all, you know, I think at one point in my life, if I thought about prayer, let me say, this is really the comparison that keeps coming to my mind. It would be like you were constipated and you say, oh, help. And it's not that way. It's easy. It's just like, let it go, let it up, and ask with your high intention. The key is how do you get it? One of the things I see as a key is, how do you get into a state of high intention? How do you do that? And because, you know, it's not just the asking, and it's the asking with a high intention. And Terry, why don't you want to share your answer to that? How do you ask? How do you get into a state of high intention?
Well, there's a differential between what is going on in some area and what I wish to have going on, and what I feel is the optimum to go on for the highest good of people. And so there's a big differential. Like in Libya,
you know, it's hard to imagine the bombings and the problems going on there, and there's a huge differential between the intentions of the people over there. And I can feel the prayers of different people, which then can weigh the kind of the cumulative intention in a certain direction. And when that direction is for the highest good, then it, the higher forces of the Elohim can come in, and it's easier to make the connections between all the people's intentions, say for peace, and any other things going on that's against peace, and the ultimate outcome can be changed, and including the free will of everybody by not taking advantage of the people or eliminating their free will by, in some respects, showing them how many people are projecting themselves towards peace or praying towards peace, and there can be a more overriding view, including the Elohim and all the people praying for peace, and then their light can combine and can make a greater statement towards peace, which can affect the situation. So it starts with an intention, a desire, a hope in a certain direction, and then other people who have that similar intention, they can merge together with their desire for peace, say, and it increases the strength of the position towards peace, which can be felt and create a shift within the consensus reality. It's a little bit of a more cosmic view, overlooking that it's an individual might not see all of the other parties that are praying for peace, but they can just put forth their fervent hope, their fervent desire, and it all counts. It all counts together, and it's all heard. And like Carla said, with people driving by and the lights going to the car that had the wreck, is that people pray and send their energy to the people in the car. It's like the more of those that happen, then it changes consensus reality, and individuals get it. All it is gets it, and it helps shift the outcomes. So that's my comments.
Question, Terry. Were you praying? I mean, obviously we've been talking to the Elohim and asking questions and learning how they operate and, you know, seeing some little miraculous things. Prior to are doing that, did you tend to pray?
Yes.
And
yes, I did. I would just simply pray. I didn't tell anybody often.
In the old-fashioned way.
Oh, did I pray in the old-fashioned way?
Like, did you say, "Dear God, please help this"?
Well, I used to when I was a kid. Like, I'd say my prayers, and I would pray in the more standard traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
I would pray. I would hold the Bible and pray, and I felt sometimes there was answers, and sometimes I had the veil over me, and I couldn't really tell. I couldn't hear the answers all the time. Every now and then I would hear the answers, but as I opened up more and grew more and learned more how to open up, then I got more connected with the surroundings, and I could hear more answers.
Thanks. Let's see what time it is now. It is 6:44. We have about 6 minutes. What I would like to do, if you guys will go along, is we have, a few hundred people that listen to these calls, and I know that all of them have something that they'd like to shift. They'd like to heal. They'd like their husband to heal. And we also have a world that's in a fragile state with Japan. Maybe we can actually do some prayers for the next 6 minutes. And in particular, I just want to do a prayer for Carla and her operation and her health. And is that okay with you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, there's one thing I'd like to say before we finish the discussion and go into the actual prayer. Beyond all of the prayers that you talk about, there's a prayer that I think is the central prayer, and that's when you realize that your life can be a prayer, so that you pray without ceasing, and you're constantly bringing yourself back to that tuning, that focus, that is a state of prayer. I think that when you get hold of that idea and you work with it, you find that you impact your life tremendously for the better.
I absolutely agree.
And nobody
should
know you're doing it. You can keep all that to yourself and just let the energy flow.
If I was going to put that in my words, okay, I would say what happens is a person learns to connect their hologram up to the source, and they hold that there, and wherever they go, they're changing the vibration in this planet. They're just holding the space of source down through the realms, and their body is anchoring it and radiating it, and other people feel it. And that's my way of talking. And of course, if you think something while you're in that space, every thought you think is part of that flow, and you're helping to recreate or reinforce that flow in its impact and everything around you. And anyone want to comment on that? You don't have to, but before we go into our praying mode.
Well, I would like to say that we are really like cosmic beings. We are beings that are really from the other side. And so this whole Earth experience isn't the final word, and the outcomes in the physical realm are not the final outcomes for each and every one of the individuals on this Earth and the animals and life. So there is a higher order and a higher sense and a higher growth pattern. So an individual life is just one chapter in their journeys. And I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you. And you know what I want to say? I want to say, Terry, This is the first time we've had Carla on that you've talked as much as Carla. And congratulations. Between your shyness and Carla's talkness, somehow we've crossed a new barrier today. Successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Whoever that may be.
I'm talking more.
So we have about 3 minutes. Carla, why don't you lead a prayer for Japan and the healing of Japan?
All right.
And then I'll have Terry lead a prayer for all the people that are listening and help them shift whatever they want shifted. And then I'll lead a prayer for Carla's healing. Now, we only have 3 minutes, so we have to do quick prayers, or we're gonna cut short. So go ahead, Carla.
All right. Creator, we offer you the situation in Japan. We offer you the people suffering. We offer you the incredible courage and dedication and sacrificial nature of the people that are working to contain the nuclear problem with the reactors that are at risk. We offer you the hearts of all the people. We offer you the fears of all the people around the world who are concerned about radiation. Lift us up, Lord. Lift us into the light and help us to know that all is well. Help us to gather our energies and send forth our good intentions, our deep love and affection for our fellow beings of the tribe of humankind in Japan. Be with them. Let them know that they are not alone. Let them know that they are with friends here and friends in the unseen realm.
Thank you. Terry?
Okay.
You're going to do the prayer for all the people that are listening, for all the things they want and need, and help them focus their intention so for the highest good they can bring those things in.
Creator, we offer you the prayers, the desires for healing, the hopes of each and every individual who is listening or reading the transcript, that these prayers be heard and open communication be experienced, and that the individuals may know that their prayers are being heard, and the individuals may receive the sense that all is well, and that they are cared for, and they are loved, and they are not alone.
Thank you. And I'm going to do this fast right now. Fast but powerful. I'd like to ask all of you who are listening on this line and all of our sources right back to original creation to beam in for the highest good on Carla's physical body, and that anything that can be lifted to free her, to heal her, be done right now, and that everything as from now until her operation is on a steady flow of release and healing And on that note, we'll take a moment to anchor all of our prayers. And we'll say goodbye to you. And thank you, Seth, for not cutting us off at 6:53, or Doug. And thank you, Carla, for being here tonight. Thank you, Terry. And we'll see you next time.